are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts its money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. Let's do this thing from the bunker. We want to wish everybody a happy holidays. We hope you had a great Christmas. I did not have a great Christmas because I'm a Buffalo Bills fan. Yet, truth be told, I think the National Football League having games on Christmas Eve and then subsequently on Christmas Day actually pretty much ruined everybody's Christmas. But we'll get to that in a couple of moments time. We got a great show for you. Brian Blessing is going to join me straight from the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. It's pretty early for Blessing. You know, he's a night owl, Blessing, joining us in the early morning hours from Vegas. We'll talk some Buffalo Bill football. Of course, Rex Ryan gets kicked to the curb. It was a bloodbath in week 16 of the National Football League. Ashley Dawkins is going to join me in studio in the bunker this afternoon. Good stuff. We're going to break down the Toronto Raptors, Golden State Warriors. I want to talk about Steve Kerr dialing up the potential game-winning shot for Kevin Durant and not Steph Curry. And, you know, Steph Curry's a nice guy. He's a good guy. And I don't expect Steph Curry to cause any media controversy by publicly complaining about the situation that's going on right now in Golden State, because they're winning basketball games. But they already were winning basketball games before Kevin Durant got there. Yeah, I know they blew it in the finals last year, but it's one of these deals in which you can't say that Kevin Durant has, you know, that they're not winning games. They're a dominant basketball team. But Steph Curry's not the same player, man. Klay Thompson's not really the same dude right now. So I look forward to talking hoops with Ashley Docking, football with Brian Blessing. We'll talk about the Buffalo Bills. We'll talk some NFL point spreads for the final week of play. And we'll talk some bowl games. And you want to talk about bloodbaths, man. Like, what the hell's going on with these bowl games? Like, seriously, like, North Texas and Army, no one was really expecting an overly entertaining football game. It's North Texas and Army. Nope, they go, it's 31-31, they go to overtime. High drama, both teams always going for it on fourth down and converting big plays. Wake Forest and Temple, figure that game would be boring as hell. There was a ton of points put up on the board. And then you get the supposed track meets, the Holiday Bowl, Washington State. It's a lot of talk about Luke Falk and the quarterback of Washington State, whether he was going to come into the National Football League draft. It's like the episode of The Simpsons with Rodney Dangerfield. Meet my debutante daughter. She just came out. Whoa, put her back in. She's not ready yet. Trust me, this kid, he ain't ready yet. All right? So we got a lot of stuff to get to on the program, but let's get right down to business and start the program off by talking about Rex Ryan being relieved of his duties. This was pretty much it was like a mercy killing, basically. It was basically like, Rex Ryan, he was comatose. He was never going to wake up, and we pulled the plug on him, to put it grimly. In a year of deaths in 2016, we can chalk up another one, Rex Ryan's coaching career, because you'd have to be dead to want to hire Rex Ryan to be your head coach. Now, let me start off by stating that, Rex Ryan, 8-8 last year, 7-8 so far this year. I'm not a mathematician, but I believe that's what, 15-16? So, was Rex Ryan terrible? No. And you know what? It's actually, he's pretty much had the exact same record, pretty much, as Doug Marrone did. Now, Marrone, 15-17. So, it's not like Rex Ryan was the worst coach in the history of the Buffalo Bills. And we should note that, the Buffalo Bills, they've only had four coaches in their history, in their freaking history, man. But they've had eight guys on the sideline since they last made the playoffs. But they've only had four coaches in their history who finished their coaching tenure with the Buffalo Bills with a winning record. Lou Saban, like, we're going back to the 60s now. Lou Saban, Fort Knox, remember Chuck Knox? And Chuck Knox was like one game over 500. I think it was like 37-36 or something like that. Marv Levy, greatest coach in Bills history. and Wade Phillips. The Buffalo Bills haven't had a coach finish with a winning record with the Bills. I'm not saying the Bills haven't had a winning season since Wade Phillips left, but even those winning seasons have been few and far between. Like, how many do they have? Like, one? Two? One? I think they might have went 9-7 with Dick Geron once. I think maybe. Maybe. Didn't Marone win 9 games once? You know, even a nine game winner. So it's not like you can say, you know what, it's Rex Ryan's fault that the Buffalo Bills suck rocks and that they're an embarrassment. All right, that's not like, it's not Rex Ryan's fault. But the fact of the matter is, Rex Ryan wasn't good enough. And I think about Rex Ryan, and Rex Ryan's a good guy. He's a funny guy. He's a player's guy. Players love him. Rex Ryan's the type of guy that tells the player, hey, you know what, I know you got a bonus coming if you get to 6 sacks this year, and I know they don't want you to get it because they don't want to pay you, but I'm going to call a bunch of schemes for you to get this. Like, Rex is a good guy behind the scenes and stuff to the players, but the problem is, where did that get him? Where did it get him? You know, Rex Ryan, you're not going to win football games in the National Football League just because the players like you, all right? That's not going to get you anywhere. In fact, you look at the Buffalo Bills and their lack of discipline, their lack of leadership, the lack of accountability on the field. It starts with the coach. As they know, what's Rex going to do? Rex is their buddy. Rex is their buddy. I remember Kyle Turley, when Rex Ryan got hired, I asked Kyle Turley, I said, yeah, you probably like Rex to play for Rex, right? He goes, yeah, I know Rex a bit. He goes, they're a really nice guy. He goes, Rex never played the game. He's kind of a fan. And he says he's kind of a rah-rah guy, but he goes, I can think of a lot of other better guys that coach the Buffalo Bills. And, you know, you look at Anthony Lynn right now, and, you know, the players like Anthony Lynn, but I'm thinking, you know, the Buffalo Bill players, they don't need a friend, man. They need a freaking coach. They need somebody that can put them in a position to win football games. The talent level in professional sports is pretty much equal on every team for the most part, all right? You know, the difference is the preparation, the effort, and coaching. You know, preparation from the players, effort from the players, dedication from the players, a commitment to winning from the players, and a commitment to winning from the coach. We hear the stories of football coaches all the time in which they don't sleep. You know, Gruden sleeps 3 hours a night when he was the coach. You know, Joe Gibbs used to sleep in the office. Like, you know, they used to joke, well, I don't even know why Joe, like, has a house. He sleeps in his office every night, and he barely sleeps. He's up all the time, breaking down tape all the time. The only tape that Rex Ryan was breaking down was foot fetish videos. Like, the lack of preparation that Rex Ryan was showing was enough to get fired. Rex Ryan was sort of one of these dudes that, you know what, it's worked for me. I've been around a long time. This is how I do it. And no, I don't got to spend 16 hours, like, watching stuff. I'm Rex Ryan. I've got my system. Now, Rex Ryan was brash. He was also overpaid. And don't cry for Rex. He's walking away with $17 million. $17 million more dollars, I should add. He got $27 million for 5 years, all right? So he's coached 2 years. He got 10. He's owed 17. And unlike the players, coaches' contracts are guaranteed. So Rex can afford a lot of foot fetish videos, you know. Well, he can start his own, like, he can start his own porn company. Rexfeet.com. Should have come up with a better name, but, you know, I'm on the fly here. But, you know, I was thinking about it with Rex. Rex is sort of like the, he's like a plumber. You know, he's a likable guy, hefty fella. Shows up at your house, and you're like, hey, man, I got some big problems in my pipes here, dude. Like, and Rex comes in, I'm the best plumber, I tell you. I can fix it. I fix it. You know, I once got an alligator out of a pipe before, all right? And he starts telling you these great stories, and you have a beer with him, and you're like, man, this is the coolest plumber ever. You know, this guy, oh, let me tell you about this chick's house I was at. What a rock. You know, and he starts telling you all these funny stories. And then at the end of the day, you realize, you know, the plumber's been there for 12 hours, and then he hands you a bill for $3,000, and you're like, well, the pipes are still clogged. And he's like, yeah, you know, I'll come back tomorrow and finish it off. He's like a tow truck driver. You know, Michael Moore, the Pinko Combi film guy, Michael Moore. Michael Moore talked about Barack Obama, and I remember it was a good saying. And I was just going to rip off the analogy, but I won't. I'll give credit to Moore. But, you know, he said Barack Obama was a disappointment to the left. And he was asked, well, you know, George Bush really created, you know, a big problem. And Moore said, yeah, but, you know, Barack's sort of like a tow truck driver that said, yeah, I'm going to get your car out of the ditch because the last company couldn't. And then the car's still in the ditch, basically. And that's a similar situation with Rex Ryan. The Buffalo Bills have a lot of freaking problems, man, all right? They have a lot of problems that go further and deeper than Rex Ryan, like Russ Brandon, the president. But ultimately, Rex Ryan isn't good enough to overcome all the obstacles that you must face as being the head coach of the sad sack pathetic sports franchise that is the Buffalo Bills. The fact they've only had four winning coaches says it all. So don't feel too bad, Rex. You know, it's a dysfunctional situation here from top to bottom. But ultimately, your lack of preparation is what upset me the most. You know, the fact of the matter is the NFL has passed Rex Ryan by. You know, we're not in a fullback, one wide receiver, two tight end set anymore. We don't play smash mouth football. And Rex Ryan was like, well, I'll put my reputation up against anybody, but today's offenses are pretty good. Basically stating, I'm out of ideas here. And you're not out of ideas. You never came up with anything new. The Buffalo Bills under Rex Ryan never adjusted at halftime. The Buffalo Bills were never the better coach team, the over-prepared team, the more prepared team. The Buffalo Bills almost like won in spite. They won games in spite of Rex Ryan. And ultimately, the nail in the coffin was when you and your sorry-ass sweater vest-wearing, brain-dead, frozen decision to punt the ball with 4 minutes left instead of going for it on fourth and two. Yes, from your own 41 on fourth and two. When a tie eliminated you from playoff contention is enough reason for you to be let go. Don't let the door hit you on the way out, Rex. Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. Ashley Docking will join us in studio in a couple of minutes' time. We'll talk a little bit about the Toronto Raptors and the Golden State Warrior game this evening. And Kevin Durant and, of course, the Warriors. They haven't played since that loss against the Cleveland Cavaliers. And I can't believe that Steph Curry's is very happy that Kerr's dialing up plays for KD with the game on the line against the Cleveland Cavaliers. And for a team that's, you know, kicking the crap out of people every night, they've got problems, man. They really do. But nevertheless, we'll get to some hoops with Ashley in a couple of minutes. Let's talk, I was going to say let's talk football, but I'm not sure talking about the Buffalo Bills is actually football. Like, I don't know. Do they play football? I guess you can sort of say they attempt to play football. Brian Blessing, Sportsbook Radio from Las Vegas, Nevada, joins us. And of course, an original resident of Buffalo and citizen of Buffalo. What's going on?
Nothing, just another year.
What is it? Like, is it a Buffalonian? What do you call people from Buffalo? Like Las Vegas, Las Vegan. What is it, Buffalo?
A Buffalonian.
Yeah, Buffalonian, huh?
I am a Buffalonian, yeah.
Buffalonian. So, Brian, I think I came up with a pretty good analogy for Rex Ryan, and I tweeted it out, and I talked about it earlier off the top of the show. I said, Rex Ryan's a nice guy. He's a good guy. And, you know, he's a funny guy. He's sort of, and he looks like a plumber type of guy, you know, lunch pail type of dude. So I just picture Rex coming over to your place, and you can see his ass cracks and stuff, and, you know, his pants are hanging low. Yeah, you know, and he's coming in, but he's a really funny guy, you know, and you've got some, you got your pipes are all clogged, and, you know, you had another plumber over there, and he couldn't figure it out, so you call this guy, and this guy's a great guy, he's telling you stories, you're like, man, this guy's going to have this fixed by the end of the day, and he starts telling you, I've had much bigger problems than this before, don't worry, buddy, your pipes are going to be fine by the end of the day, and then at the end of the day, you know, you have a couple of beers with him and stuff, and then he hands you the bill, and it's for like, you know, $3,000-$4,000, yet the pipes are still clogged. So like Rex Ryan, he's not to blame for the entire toxic situation that is the Buffalo Bills, Brian, but at the same point in time, he's not the solution either.
No, absolutely not. We'll focus on him. Their problems are much broader than Rex Ryan. But the thing Gabe that came out of the game Sunday and the thing everybody talked about was there were 10 men on the field when Jay Ajayi ripped off the big run in overtime.
Which has happened numerous times this year.
And he called the timeout a half second late on the 55-yard field goal.
Yeah, and is adamant that he didn't, that, you know, he got screwed when we all saw the ball was already snapped.
Well, the one that no one talked about, and you know me as long as you've known me, my biggest pet peeve, and all the coaches do it, a 9-year-old can manage a football game. It's the moment at hand where these guys freak out and can't think 10 seconds ahead. But they're down a touchdown right before a minute to go in the game. Fourth and goal at the one. And they have all three timeouts. You've got to think ahead. They call a timeout with the clock stopped. Yeah. They did this three times during the season game. If they assume you don't score, have to assume you don't score, you get the ball back at the 40 or 45-yard line.
Yeah, they got lucky they scored with that. You're right. Well, and you're right. There's a lot of coaches that do a lot of dumb things, but Rex just seems to be disconnected. Like, Rex is sort of that old guy now, and even though he's not old, he's that old guy that, you know, sort of, oh, I don't really understand that, and, like, I don't care about fax machines and computers, and, like, you know, give me a notepad. You know, he's like one of these type of dudes. And then, you know, the icing on the cake was, you know, him punting on 4th-and-2, Brian. Now, he says, I was going to pin them and get the ball back. Well, which defense was going to pin them? The same defense that let Matt Moore go up and down the field? Like,
and yeah, the same guys.
It was 4th-and-2, Brian. 4th-and-freaking-2. And I tweeted out, I knew he was going to punt, and I tweeted out like a minute before, you better not be thinking of punting, Rex, because a tie does us no good. And you know what's even crazier, Brian? Everything the Bills needed to happen, happened. They needed four things to happen. They needed the Titans and the Colts to lose at least one game before the year was over. They both lost. They need everything they needed to happen. They needed the Steelers to beat the Ravens. They did. If the Bills would have won, they're coming into this week, they would just need Cincinnati to beat Baltimore, and the Bills beat the Jets, and the Bills would have been in the playoffs.
Buddy, it's typical Buffalo. It's insanity. Here's the thing. Now, moving forward, and the Anthony Lynn guy is probably the front runner to get the job. He's done a great job with schemes, and he took over in week 2 and all this other stuff. I just got to throw a football 101 thing out there. You're a Bills fan, you watch the games, and I host the games at Club Madrid. Literally, people know to stay away from me when the Bills are in the red zone because I'm about to throw stuff. How many times this year have you seen McCoy get him all the way down there? And I get it if he's tired and you give the ball to Gillislee. That happens. It's not a fantasy football thing, believe me. But you get the ball, it's first down from the 11, or first and goal from the 10. This happened at least 5 times. And on first down, McCoy runs the ball 8 yards to the 2. And then they do an option play with Reggie Bush.
Yep.
Mother of God, who could possibly think that?
Well, how about the drive, Brian?
Give the ball to the best player on the football field.
We didn't even get to Carpenter. We didn't even get to Dan Carpenter, who, you know, we might be able to argue cost us, you know, ultimately a game or two if you add up all of his gaffes throughout the year. He's got to go. Carpenter's done. You're as done as Rex. Carpenter's got to go. But, you know, in the field goal that he missed that they could have won the game on, the field goal that he misses, even before, Brian, like you said, they gave the ball to Reggie Bush. LeSean McCoy and Gillislee were killing it, and then they got cute with Bush, and he ended up losing like 4 or 5 yards on the play. And then the field goal was longer after, and then, of course, Carpenter puts it up off the upright because he's a loser. But, you know, so you mentioned Anthony Lynn. I'm torn with Lynn because, you know, the players are going to, you know, the players are talking like, we want Lynn. He's our guy. He deserves it. And you look at his resume.
Players don't make decisions.
No, but that's the thing. You look at Lynn's resume, and you can argue, you know, the guy deserves better from the NFL. He's been an assistant or a running backs coach for like 15, 16 years, two-time Super Bowl champion, backup running back on the Broncos. He's a football lifer. He's prepared. People like him, but at the same point in time, he's a running backs coach. And secondly, he did a good job. Everywhere he's been, he's had 1,000-yard rushers, and, you know, the Bills have a good ground attack. But, you know, as you were just saying, Brian, the Bills don't need a friend. And you look at the lack of discipline that the Bills have. And the Bills, you know, we can talk about Rex and we can talk about Brandon. We'll get to Brandon in a second. But there has to be accountability with the players as well, Brian. And we saw the collapse against the Dolphins. Not one guy stepped up and made a play. You know, the collapse against the Raiders. Like, where's the guy on the sideline grabbing everyone by the face mask saying, hey, I'm going to kick the crap out of you. Like, this isn't acceptable. Let's go. Let's go. Nobody. You know, we can blame Rex, and Rex wasn't the solution, but, you know, there's bigger problems than just Rex Ryan there, and the players need some accountability. Therefore, I believe they need a hard-ass coach. Not Tom Coughlin, though. And I don't know if Lynn's that hard-ass coach. Like, if, you know, he's getting promoted, he doesn't have that type of juice. It's a difficult situation that they're in right now. What do you know about the future, Brian? I'll throw some names at you. So you got Anthony Lynn. You know, Tom Coughlin's name keeps coming up. You know Pegula wants Coughlin. Yet, if Doug Whaley's in charge of the search...
Oh, that ain't going to work.
Then Coughlin's not going to be the guy. So, what about Todd Haley? Todd Haley, you know, has been to a Super Bowl. I think, you know, most guys get a second crack. He hasn't gotten that shot, or I said a third crack. I guess he did get two. About, you know, do you write Todd Haley off forever? And what about the fired up bearded dude, Matt Patricia, the DC of the Patriots? Do you take a shot with him, Brian? Or, you know, you look at all these Patriot coaches, you know, assistants, Josh McDaniels, Charlie Weiss. There's been a lot of guys that made a lot of money because they were around Belichick. I don't know. What, you know, where are you looking for this?
I swear to you, Gabe, I have no clue. And I'm being brutally honest with you. The thing is, you know, there are only so many jobs, and it's a plum, right? You want to be a head coach in the NFL. And the thing that makes this attractive, it's a football-crazed market. Yes, it's a smaller market, but you're treated like a king there. You're going to make good bucks. Pegula's going to throw money at you. But I really wonder, how attractive is this job with Doug Whaley there? He had Doug Marrone. He couldn't get along with Doug Marrone. Rex Ryan comes in. There's infighting and whatever was going on there. Whoever Whaley's going to hire, it's Whaley's found ways to, you know, keep control of this thing. And you're right. At some point, if players are going to be accountable. But the egregious thing for Rex Ryan was he came in and just destroyed what looked like what was going to be a dominant defense for 5 years.
Well, they could have kept Jim Schwartz then, right? I mean, at the time.
They should have. Jim Schwartz should have been kept.
But I'm hearing, Brian, I'm hearing that even the Doug Marrone hire was more Russ Brandon than it was Doug Whaley.
And that's the other part of the equation.
So, like, Whaley gets thrown under the bus, because I keep reading, oh, this is the third coach Whaley's going to hire. Whaley didn't hire Rex Ryan. Kim Pegula and Terry Pegula hired Rex Ryan after a couple of bottles of red wine. You know, and, like, you know, the Doug Marrone stuff as well. And, you know, Doug Marrone comes in, and they're all going to draft Ryan Nassib and then E.J. Manuel. That was Buddy Nix. And, you know, I'm reading now that we hear that Russ Brandon was the one that convinced everybody that Marrone was the guy. So, and you're a Sabres guy. Russ Brandon, I know, what are you? He's the accountant, Ralph Wilson's guy. Ralph's gone right now. Hell, Ralph's kids aren't even around anymore. Brandon's got to go, too.
Well, Gabe, here's the common denominator. Everything you just said is right. And if people are held accountable in every walk of life, you do a crummy job, buddy, you're not keeping your job. You know, I do a rotten job, or I don't produce, I'm not going to have a job. And the common denominator is that Russ Brandon went from being a marketing guy who was extremely successful in terms of increasing the revenue by regionalizing the market, and that godforsaken disaster of playing, giving up a home game every year to go to Toronto. I mean, you know, that was a big part of this drought, is giving up a home game for however many years they went up to play in a morgue where basically it was a neutral field and a dead building, and their record up there was awful. But the common denominator through this entire drought has been Russ Brandon, who's continued to go up the ladder and have more say in all these decisions. And now they're putting him, his meat hooks, into the hockey team. It's a terrifying prospect.
Wow. Brian Blessing, Sportsbook Radio, with us from Las Vegas, Nevada. We're going to take a quick break. All right, that's enough, because I'm getting depressed now. We'll come back, and we'll talk. Bills are three-point favorites, so we'll take a look at that. Bills, Jets, and we'll take a look. Redskins are laying 8 against the Giants this week. Aaron Rodgers and the Lions, after watching the Lions gag on Monday, I got no confidence that these guys are going to beat the Packers this week. We'll kick the tires on that and more. Game Time Decision continues. Game Time Decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. We'll be back into Studio A next week. But you know, it's pretty much a ghost town here at the Fantasy Sports Network this week. It's all dark. The lights are off. And you know, people aren't in a very good mood. Normally, the show's live. We'll let you in on a secret. It's not live today. But it is today. It is today. It's a couple hours. Like, we're taping this in the early morning hours, so it's real early, actually, for Brian Blessing in Las Vegas. And that was depressing, talking about the Bills, and I'm already depressed because of these crap-ass bowl games killing me. But let's talk some NFL point spreads right now, Brian. So EJ...
Before we do that, Gabe, I'm a little worried. Are you sure they're not trying to tell you something? I mean, the lights are off. I mean, like, is there a chance when you come back tomorrow the locks will have been changed?
Well, nothing would surprise me, basically. What are you saying? I'm going the route of Rex Ryan.
I'm not saying anything, but it, you know, it does go in threes.
But if they give me $17 million to leave, I'll take
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
I'll take it.
How nice is that?
Well, if they give me $170,000. $17,000, not enough. Like, no, that's not enough to get rid of me. $170,000, don't think about it.
Think about it.
Yeah, all right, so EJ Manuel is in. And, you know, the thing is here with Tyrod Taylor, if he gets hurt, the Bills are on the hook for the contract. If he got hurt in the final three games of the season, he had language in a contract that they'd be on the hook for it. Whaley wanted to...
Who signed that deal? That's the other thing. Yeah. I know we want to move on, but you gave Marone $4 million to walk out the door. He said, oh, I'll do that.
Yeah.
And then you put a balloon in a contract for $27 million. That's what that bottom line is. That tells you how dysfunctional they are. Is ultimately why they pulled the trigger here is because Manuel's playing this week, and for 3 weeks they made the decision and wanted Manuel to play because they didn't want Taylor to get hurt. I mean, they should have been fired for the discontent, the bad contract, and not making the decision 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, for everything that we're talking about here, it sounds like, yeah, Whaley. Like I said, Whaley's a good judge of talent, but he's a moron at the table. Like, there's no doubt. And if you're Pegula, you paid Marone $4 million, now you're paying Rex another $17 million to leave. That's $21 million you're paying for guys that aren't even on your, you know, in your organization anymore. But EJ Manuel goes, they're laying 3, and I guess it's fitting that it's against Ryan Fitzpatrick, right? So it's EJ Manuel versus Ryan Fitzpatrick. Bills lay 3. I don't know. The Jags won after they fired their coach, Brian. These guys, they like Anthony Lynn. You know, they want to win for Anthony Lynn. What do you make of this one? You laying the 3 with the Bills?
If anything, probably yes. I think the Jets have given us the larger sample where they've run for the bus. And the Jets' offensive line is not the Dolphins' offensive line. I think the Bills, just with McCoy and Gillislee, if they commit to the run, can do it. And you know, the irony of irony. So you sat there with the scenarios and look back to the worst game of the year, honestly, on a short rest, the Jets in week two. Brian Fitzpatrick came in and shredded him like Joe Montana, and we all know how awful Ryan Fitzpatrick is. But it looks to me like the Jets have run for the bus, so it'd be the Bills for me.
What do you make?
Of course it would be the Bills. It'd be, everything's going to happen. They're going to win this game, and the other dominoes will fall and go, oh, they'd have made the playoffs.
Yeah, the Bengals. That, just for the record, Bills fans, if you're not depressed enough, if the Bills win and the Bengals win, they could have gotten in with one more damn win. They blew the 11-point lead. 11-point lead against the Dolphins. That's another thing with Rex. We own the Dolphins, and somehow this sorry son of a bitch gets swept by them, and it costs us a playoff spot. Like, literally. Yeah. We missed by one freaking game if this happens. But anyways, all right, we only got 4 minutes left already. Redskins are laying 8 points, man, against the Giants. Ooh, that's quite a lot, isn't it?
It is. It's one of those weird, the flex is a weird thing. Usually on Sundays, you get the games that have that common denominator play at the same time. But because of the flex, the Detroit-Green Bay games at night, so obviously, you know, Detroit's shivering in their boots here, and the numbers ballooned up. So the numbers tell you, motivation, and the Giants are probably going to rest people.
So, yeah, the way this works, too, if the Redskins win, they're in. The Redskins win, they're in, and then the Packers-Lions loser is out. But if the Redskins lose, then I guess both the Packers and the Lions could actually get in. It'll be interesting. After what I saw with Detroit, and I bought into Detroit, Detroit's been good to me since Cooters took over as OC. They've been a good covering team, Brian. I liked them against the Pokes the other night. It seemed like a good spot. They were up 21-14, and in similar fashion to the Bills. Like, you know, they got Zach Zenner running the ball down their throat, and then they keep throwing on second and third and one, and then they keep punting, and then, you know, they collapsed. And, you know, now if they lose the game, they're out of the playoffs. And the way the Packers are playing indoors, it's hard not to like the Packers in this game, Brian.
I hear you. We talked about the Packers for a month, and, you know, we go back to just the stuff that drives you nuts. You watched the beginning of that Lions game the other night. The Zenner guy, at the moment, was shredding the Cowboys, was averaging 9.4 yards a carry. They got the ball first and goal, a foot away from the end zone. They throw it twice, give it to the Washington kid, and then do a quarterback sneak. Why would you give the ball to the guy that was just like running through them like butter? Football it drives me insane. It's like a bad episode of I Love Lucy.
You know what's weird this week, too, in the NFL, Brian, that all the bad teams, normally it's the bad teams that are desperate in the final week, like, you know, like the Bills of the world and whatever, and the Ravens, and, oh, we need to win, and we need this to happen, and we're going to get in. It's kind of the opposite. Like, if you look, like, all these 5 seeds and 6 seeds are sort of in already, Brian, and it's really like the big dogs are still playing. Like, we don't know about, like, home field, you know, besides Dallas, who's going to get that bye in the NFC, and same thing in the AFC. The Patriots, the Chiefs, and the Raiders all still jockeying for position here.
No, and it's funny how different sports cross over and correlate. And you and I had a discussion yesterday. I was saying to you, watch when bad teams in the NBA play each other. It's just a mindset. It's a between-the-ears thing where they believe, hey, this is a game I have a chance, and their offenses go nuts. But whether they're bad is their defense, and they can't stop anybody. When bad teams play each other, they're higher scoring games. Teams that are out of it, hopelessly eliminated, you know, they come out loose as a goose, free and easy. They're doing trick plays. They're doing all kinds of stuff, things that have been in the playbook that they haven't used all year long, and it works. And then at the end of the year, go, boy, where was that all year?
Yeah, all right, Brian. We got to get out of here right now, but quickly, we got like 30 seconds a minute here. Bowl games, you got West Virginia and Miami. I see Miami, you're laying 3. Indiana and Utah, Utah -6. And Bill Snyder getting 3 against the Aggies tonight. We saw the dogs just dominate. We got a couple of money line winners yesterday. I didn't. They did. Somebody did. Wasn't me, but somebody else did. But quickly, any of these college games, I like the dogs. I like West Virginia. I think Indiana can hang around a bit, and I like K-State, actually.
You know, Gabe, and I'll be honest with you, nothing lights a candle for me, but I will say this, and I think after all these years, I'm adopting something new. I really believe the way to approach these bowl games now is watch the first half, because we're dealing with lengthy layoffs, rust, motivation, and you're playing. It's hard enough with the spread to determine and land on a winner. Sometimes maybe it's better to watch the beginning of the game and see who cares, who motivated, who's executing, and then make a play in the second half. I think it's a safer approach throughout the course of the whole bowl season.
And the point spreads almost no matter, actually, because one team shows up. How many of these bowl games have been close? You know, one team shows up and one team doesn't, and it's normally a blowout. And we're seeing double-digit money line, wins. Double-digit underdogs are winning outright. We got to get out of here. It's always a pleasure. Thanks, Brian.
Hey, Gabe. Always a pleasure, my friend.
Brian Blessing, Sportsbook Radio. Can follow him on Twitter at Brian Blessing. Ashley Dawkins joins me next on the Fantasy Sports Network. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenzi. As you can see, the studio just got a little livelier and brighter.
Brighter.
Yeah, Ashley Dawkins joins us.
Hi, Gabe.
You know, nice jacket. It sort of looks like my grandmother's drapes.
She must have good taste then. Hello, no, Grandma Morenzi.
Very, red like that one.
So, yeah, A-Rap. A-Rap would like any time.
Very nice, actually. Very flowery. Very summerish. Are you trying to bring summer to the holiday season?
It's a little dreary today. So I just figured, brighten it up. I like your jersey. Is that an official game-worn signed by someone?
No. It's signed by Homer Simpson.
And by signed, you mean beer stained. No, I'm just joking.
Oh, yeah, Duff, yeah. All right, so it's good to see you, Ashley. I hope you had a great Christmas. The NBA was on TV this past Christmas, and the Golden State Warriors and the Cleveland Cavalier rivalry was renewed. And it's one of the rare rivalries in media. You know, the media hypes everything up all the time, in which I'm just numb to it all. But, the Warriors and the Cavs, it lived up to the hype once again.
So, funny story. I was watching with my dad, and he had a couple friends over during the holiday season. And I'm like, Dad, what's the score? I'm like in the kitchen cooking some stuff. He's like, the Warriors are up by like 13. I'm like, okay. So he changes it to football because the Steelers game was starting.
Yep.
Turns back, Cavs won by one. Dad, he's like, I might have read the score wrong. I think it might have been a bit closer than I... So I missed it. Go back and watch it again, find the highlights online or whatever happened. But I should have known better than to believe him. And even if it was a 13, 14 points, you can never count out LeBron James.
It happened again as we saw them blow the 3-1 lead last year. An epic collapse by Golden State. They haven't played since that game. There's a lot to chew on with that game, but pretty clear, like the Cleveland Cavaliers' will to win, their physicality, that sort of just East Coast versus West Coast.
They're just a bit grimier. They Richard Jefferson.
They'll do what
dunking.
It takes to win more. Yeah. Exactly. Like, they can dig down deeper.
They're not afraid to kind of scratch and claw, as opposed to the Warriors. It seems like they want to just win pretty. They want to win with that finesse, which they have the players and the capability to do so, but I like the more hard-nosed style of play.
Now, I look at the Golden State Warriors, and I see a dysfunctional basketball team that kicks the crap out of most teams, but has a problem in close games because they're not used to playing in close games. And if you notice, when they play in close games, they lose the close games. The Oklahoma City Thunder should have beaten Golden State last year, but they ended up choking. And I find it ironic that the guy that ended up choking against them was the guy that they brought in.
And ended choking.
Choking against the Cleveland Cavaliers. And, it's ridiculous. Like, LeBron James, I think, is like 16 or 17-3 against Durant now. He's been schooling him and punking him his entire career. And for some reason, Durant looks up to James. Like, that's his guy. You should have just joined the wrong team, basically. All right. But, if you're Steve, if you're Steph Curry.
Yeah.
How do you feel right now knowing, all right, we're playing the Cavs, it's Christmas Day, who's getting the shot with the game on the line? Kevin Durant is.
I know. And I think that it's always tough, though, because they're both superstars in their own right, obviously. We saw Steph Curry shoot astronomical numbers last season. But Kevin Durant is someone who's really special. The tools that he has, the handles that he has for someone his size, he's a special player, too. I think that it's more on Steph Curry just because he can be a bit more diverse. He can have the assists. He has the nice handles. He has pretty good court vision.
And he is the point guard. That's something people forget.
He is the point guard of the team.
And we saw last year it was a problem.
So maybe he needs to diversify, and maybe he needs to pull a James Harden and distribute the ball a ton more and then find his shots when they're available. Klay Thompson is one of the most beautiful shooters I've ever seen. He's a catch-and-shoot guy. Maybe work to get him a couple more looks, although he does have a ton of field goal attempts every game. But maybe you just need to change it up and realize your role has changed a little bit. But that would take
a bit of a pride point. I look at it the other way, Ashley. I look at it like Kevin Durant should be the third option.
Behind Clay?
I'm just stating he showed up and became the number one option,
yeah.
As opposed to, it's sort of like the big debate now with Trump. Should Trump be more opening to people and, hey, everything's going to be fine? Or should people just accept it and sort of respect that he won, right? It goes both ways.
Okay.
People are like sort of like, well, he's the president. He's supposed to be the bigger one, right? The adult in the room.
The bigger man, yeah.
Yeah, to be the adult in the room. But the fact is, it's not Kevin Durant's team. They didn't even want him there. And as recently as 7 months ago, Kevin Durant's taking pot shots at Steph Curry and Thompson about their defense. And now here he is on the team. We're talking about a team that won a championship, that set the record for the most wins in the history of the NBA in a regular season.
Yeah.
But and then you bring in a new person. It's basically like a happily married couple basically stating, honey, I want to move to Utah and let's just get another wife in here.
And if Cheryl could just join us in the boudoir, that would be great.
It's going to be a problem.
Nothing's wrong, apparently.
And it's like threesomes in real life. They might seem like a good idea when you're all hammered and stuff, and it might be fun at the time. And, it might be a great time, but ultimately in the long run, it's going to cost you.
Really? I wouldn't know. What did it cost you before?
I'm just stating.
Hypothetically? Or?
No, we all know. We all know. That's what I've heard. So anyways, it'll just cause friction. So it's like, you guys are having a good time when everyone's hitting threes and you're beating up on Sacramento, but what about the reality?
When it comes down to it.
Yeah. And I just don't think Kevin Durant, I love Kevin Durant, but I don't think he's a clutch guy.
Maybe it was Steve Kerr just seeing what he could do in those situations. Maybe he knew that things are going to come down to it if they go to the finals with the Warriors and it's going to be really tight game. So maybe he was just seeing what he had, trying to drop a play for Kevin Durant in the regular season, giving him an opportunity and just seeing what could go down.
Yeah, they've already welcomed him. I hear what you're saying. All right, we're going to welcome to the team. We're going to give it a shot here. But in that situation.
No, not in like a pity way. Just like, can Steph draw enough attention because you think it's going to go to him?
Yeah.
Whereas Durant can get a nice shot off. Let's just see what we got.
And ultimately, that didn't cost them the game either.
No,
it shouldn't have come to that. Now we could argue. Durant said, "I didn't fall on my own," but you also. He also took a Vince Carter-sized dive when the contact was made. But ultimately, it's hard to buy in right now. Like, if they're playing in the finals right now again, my money's on the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Of course. I don't know how it can't be. They've always managed to do it with just role players. They're kind of like the New England Patriots. You have, like, Tom Brady, and then you have, you know, one Gronk before he was injured. And then everyone else just kind of does their job, does what they have to do, has big games when you need them to, hits a couple shots, and then let LeBron James do the rest. And he only needs those supporting pieces.
I think the Raptors can match up well with the Warriors. The Warriors have gotten the best of them when they played recently, but always by a couple of points. High-scoring games. Yeah. It was 127-121 last time. There's been a lot of close games between these two. We'll find out. You know, people wonder. A lot of people, I think Raptor fans believe the Raptors are an elite team.
I think they're an elite team.
And I think some from outside observers are starting to buy in at the Raptors.
I was listening to the Utah broadcast when they were playing the Jazz, and it was unbelievable. The commentators, wow, huh? They are for real. And you're right. It's like people are just realizing, yeah, like they didn't go to the NBA Finals and take two from the champs. Like, were you not watching? It's because people aren't watching.
Well, they think it was sort of a fluke. And, fair. And the fact is they're buried in Toronto. But you figure with DeRozan and Lowry, mm-hmm, being all-stars and on the Olympic team, yeah, that they get a little bit more. But you're right. You know, the Raptors have won 7 straight road games. They're getting 10 points tonight. Spread's too high. I don't know if, Golden State's going to be.
Golden State hasn't lost back-to-back games since 2014-15. Yeah. The Raptors haven't beaten Golden State and Oracle since 2004. I don't know if this is the time.
No, but it'll be close again.
Yeah, I think so too. They've played all the good teams close.
But it's funny because you look at Golden State and they fall short. They fell short against Cleveland. Then you got Toronto, as good as they are.
Yeah.
They're like number three.
They're not at that next echelon. They just, whatever the case is, you have
Cleveland, Golden State. And then you have Toronto, San Antonio, Houston.
Clippers.
No, I don't count the Clippers.
No?
No, no. Even with Blake Griffin and Chris Paul.
No. Interesting. But they lost to them. They haven't beaten one of those teams, the Raptors. They haven't beat the Cavs. They haven't beat the Clippers. They haven't beat the Spurs. They haven't beat that upper echelon team to say that they're there. Sacramento has their number. We won't even talk about that because that's just one of the teams that just, they just have
you. Well, it's like Charlotte, actually.
It's a bad matchup.
Charlotte's giving them a big problem. Sorry, we got to get out of here. Right. So you're picking Golden State tonight?
Yeah, I think so, unfortunately.
By more or less than 10?
Less.
All right, see. Less. So it's Ashley Dawkins, 5-star lock of the night. Toronto Raptors plus 10. Game time decisions continues. Come back with our plays of the day. All right, it's time for our plays of the day. I was hoping to go bowling for dollars, man, but I've ended up in the freaking gutter. Wow, these bowl games have been upside down. It's all like a UFC fight, too. You know when you bet on a fight and in the first 30 seconds or a minute of a fight, like whether you're on the right or the wrong side? That's what these bowl games are like. It's been hit or miss, but you know what? The underdogs have been cashing. So let's take a look at the West Virginia Mountaineers plus 3. I think they're a better football team than the Miami Hurricanes are. An old-school Big East throwdown. Holgorsen's done a great job with his team this year. Skylar Howard, quarterback, West Virginia. I think this is like his last game. Their defense, the Mountaineers' defense, very, very good, actually. You wouldn't think that, but Mountaineers' defense is good. I think the Mountaineers' defense, the difference in this football game. Give me the 3 points with West Virginia. The Hoosiers getting 6. Basically, I'm taking a Big Ten team plus the points against a Pac-12 team. And we saw the Pac-12 are a bunch of soft-ass wusses, and Washington are going to get throttled by Bama because of that. Watch. But, we saw Washington State laying 8-9 points against Minnesota. They couldn't even score a damn touchdown, all right? So give me Indiana plus the 6 points against the Utes. Indiana and Utah over 54.5. Why? Because this is a game it seems like it would go under, and this stuff's crazy, man. But I think this is going to be a higher scoring game, actually. We'll take Bill Snyder and the Kent State Wildcats. This is the type of classic bowl situation. A&M have more talent, but trust me, K-State, they love winning these type of games against these name programs. Give me K-State plus the 3 points. A little NBA basketball. We got a huge game, man. Toronto Raptors and the Golden State Warriors. Warriors playing for the first time since their choke job in C-Town. Give me the Raptors plus 9.5. And let's go over 226. Other night, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.